There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. And coming up, Cameron Smith is going to join us, also Dale Leash from Lanyap. But right now, go straight to Washington. As you heard the discussion this morning, maybe saw the speech from Volodymyr Zelensky to the U.S. Government, to the Congress, and asking for more aid. Now, the second part of this sonata, President Biden responding to that ask.
Good afternoon. I want to begin by thanking President Zelensky for his passionate message this morning. I listened to it in the private residence, and he was convincing and significant speech. He speaks for a people who have shown remarkable courage and strength in the face of brutal aggression. Courage and strength that's inspired not only Ukrainians, but the entire world. Putin is inflicting appalling devastation and horror on Ukraine, bombing apartment buildings, maternity wards, hospitals. I mean, it's god-awful. I was speaking about this with our commander behind me here, General Milley. I mean, it just is amazing. Yesterday, we saw reports that Russian forces were holding hundreds of doctors and patients hostage in the largest hospital in Mariupol. These are atrocities. They're an outrage to the world. And the world is united in our support for Ukraine and our determination to make Putin pay a very heavy price. America is leading this effort, together with our allies and partners, providing enormous levels of security and humanitarian assistance that we're adding to today, and we're going to continue to do more in the days and weeks ahead. We're crippling Putin's economy with punishing sanctions that's going to only grow more painful over time, with the entire NATO and EU behind us and many other countries. What's at stake here are the principles that the United States and the United Nations and across the world stand for. It's about freedom. It's about the right of people to determine their own future. It's about making sure Ukraine will never be a victory for Putin, no matter what advances he makes on the battlefield. The American people are answering President Zelensky's call for more help, more weapons for Ukraine to defend itself, more tools to fight Russian aggression. And that's what we're doing. In fact, we started our assistance to Ukraine before this war began, as they started to do exercises along the Ukrainian border, the Russians, starting in March of last year. We took the threat of Putin invading very seriously, and we acted on it. We sent Ukraine more security assistance last year, $650 million in weapons, including anti-air and anti-armor equipment, before the invasion, more than we had ever provided before. So when the invasion began, they already had in their hands the kinds of weapons they needed to counter Russian advances. And once the war started, we immediately rushed $350 million in additional aid to further address their needs. Hundreds of anti-air systems, thousands of anti-tank weapons, transport helicopters, armed patrol boats, and other high-mobility vehicles, radar systems that help track incoming artillery and unmanned drones, secure communications equipment and tactical gear, satellite imagery and analysis capacity. And it's clearly helped Ukraine inflict dramatic losses on Russian forces. On Saturday, my administration authorized another $200 million to keep a steady flow of weapons and ammunition moving to Ukraine. Now I'm once again using my presidential authority to activate an additional security assistance to continue to help Ukraine fend off Russia's assault. An additional $800 million in assistance. That brings the total of new U.S. security assistance to Ukraine to $1 billion just this week. These are direct transfers of equipment from our Department of Defense to the Ukrainian military to help them as they fight against this invasion. And I thank the Congress for appropriating these funds. This new package on its own is going to provide unprecedented assistance to Ukraine. It includes 800 anti-aircraft systems to make sure the Ukrainian military can continue to stop the planes and helicopters that have been attacking their people and to defend their Ukrainian airspace. And at the request of President Zelensky, we have identified and are helping Ukraine acquire additional longer-range anti-aircraft systems and the munitions for those systems. Our new assistance package also includes 9,000 anti-armor systems. These are portable, high accuracy shoulder-mounted missiles that the Ukrainian forces have been using with great effect to destroy invading tanks and armored vehicles. It'll include 7,000 small arms, machine guns, shotguns, grenade launchers to equip the Ukrainians, including the brave women and men who are defending their cities as civilians, and they're on the countryside as well. And as well as the ammunition, artillery, and mortar rounds to go with small arms, 20 million rounds in total, 20 million rounds. And this will include drones, which demonstrates our commitment to sending our most cutting-edge systems to Ukraine for its defense. And we're not doing this alone. Our allies and partners have stepped up to provide significant shipments of security assistance and will continue to help facilitate these deliveries as well. The United States and our allies and partners are fully committed to surging weapons of assistance to the Ukrainians. And more will be coming as we source additional stocks of equipment that we're ready to transfer. Now I want to be honest with you. This could be a long and difficult battle, but the American people will be steadfast in our support of the people of Ukraine in the face of Putin's immoral, unethical attacks on civilian populations. We are united in our abhorrence of Putin's depraved onslaught, and we're going to continue to have their backs as they fight for their freedom, their democracy, their very survival. And we're going to give Ukraine the arms to fight and defend themselves through all the difficult days ahead. We're going to continue to mobilize humanitarian relief to support people within Ukraine and those who have been forced to flee Ukraine. In just the past few weeks, we provided $300 million of humanitarian assistance to the people in Ukraine and in neighboring countries. Tens of thousands of tons of food, water, medicine, and other basic supplies to support the people in need. Our experts on the ground in Poland and Moldova and other neighboring countries are there to make real-time assessments of the rapidly evolving crisis to get urgently needed humanitarian supplies to the people in need when they need it. And we will support Ukraine's economy with direct financial assistance as well. And together with our allies and partners, we will keep up the pressure on Putin's crumbling economy, isolating him on the global stage. That's our goal. Make Putin pay the price, weaken his position, while strengthening the hand of the Ukrainians on the battlefield and at the negotiating table. Together with our allies and partners, we're going to stay the course, and we'll do everything we can to push for and end this tragic, unnecessary war. This is a struggle that pits the appetites of an autocrat against humankind's desire to be free. And let there be no doubt, no uncertainty, no question, America stands with the forces of freedom. We always have, and we always will. I thank you all, and God bless you, and I'm going to walk over and sign this bill to allow the drawdown of those materials.
Wow. I think we hear more of that. Well, it's Midday Mobile. You're just joining us. FM Talk 106.5. President Biden with the address there that follows the address from Zelensky. I'd much rather have Zelensky. Can we have Zelensky just pinch hit? I know he's a little busy right now, but can we get him to take the part, at least read the words of President Biden as we talk about new military aid to Ukraine? You heard it there.
going over some of the points here, claiming the atrocities. We've heard that before. Adding to assistance, crippling the economy of Russia, making Ukraine. This is interesting. Just scribbling down notes here as President Biden was talking, making sure Ukraine will never be a victory for Putin. How far do we go there? Talk about assistance and additional assistance. Surface to air, I don't think he danced around that, but it sounded like some mentioned, you know, not specifically, but because I think that's a very hot escalation there. $200 million to Ukraine over the weekend, an additional $800 million that's happening right now. President Biden did the math for us and said that's $1 billion in assistance. Okay. Also, why are we telling specifically? I guess you could look at it two ways. So President Biden, you know, was going through what military, what lethal aid we're deploying to Ukraine, even specifically 20 million rounds of ammunition. Why tell Russia exactly what's there? I guess in individual rounds of ammunition, maybe it doesn't matter. Talked about 300 million in additional or current humanitarian assistance, which I think is a good thing. You know, I think that's one place. Hopefully we wouldn't have any disagreements out there. That if we were putting money into places like Poland and Moldova and stuff to help the refugees, I think that's a pretty darn American thing to do. But what do you think? Because I see the text line here, and we take some phone calls on it, too, at 343-0106. Does this seem to be moving us more towards war and World War III, what we did not want to do in the first place? Is it President Biden weeks ago saying, well, no way, we're going to put American boots on the ground, and you know how these things work, and then we scoot a little bit and scoot a little bit closer. You know, like you're sitting on the love seat there with the date, and you just, you know, at first you're sitting on the opposite ends or the couch or whatever, and then you start scooting and scooting. You know how it works. Tusker says, Brandon's sanctions against Russia hurt us more than them. Huge propaganda piece from the Dems. Kenny says, from someone that wants to ban our guns, he sure is sending a ton of them over there. Did you notice him referencing decisions by Biden administration, not his administration? Like he's the third party. Jessica, I hope he doesn't turn into, remember Bob Dole and what American hero Bob Dole was? And in retrospect, what an amazing statesman. But remember Bob Dole would talk about himself in third person? I think former President Trump did too. That's just a thing I'm not crazy about. But Jessica, I appreciate the text. Let's see here. Ben, getting plenty of memes here. Let's see. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Jace was commenting on what I told him on the text line. So let me add this to what just came out of President Biden. So I'll retweet this. Because remember, what retweets don't mean endorsement. Remember that on Twitter. Retweets don't mean endorsement. The tweet earlier from Senator Shelby, okay, who just, of course, brought a lot of more money home to Alabama, and I can go round and round with y'all why I think in the short term that's good for Alabama. Long term, it's bad for our republic, but short term, good for us. Here's a tweet from Senator Shelby. This came out 3 hours ago. It says, Zelensky's address was a Churchillian moment. It did have some Churchill in it. He spoke to Congress and the whole world about the plight of the Ukrainian people. This last sentence, and I like everything he just said. I like everything that Senator Shelby just said there. And then he has this last sentence. We should do everything possible to help him now. Not crazy about that sentence, Senator. Not crazy. How about you? Come back and talk about it. 343-0106. 343-0106. It's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, and Cameron Smith joins us right after 12:35.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:25, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Oh, wait, let me add this into the news mix as we roll on. 7.3 magnitude earthquake near Japan is being reported. They said, of course, tsunami warnings are in effect there. I think, didn't Zelensky also address, I think he addressed the Japanese today, too. He did the Canadians before us. You know, I wrote this, so we went straight to, because President Biden was supposed to speak like 2 hours ago before the show started, and he ended up being 2 hours late right as the show started. So let me just read you a couple of notes I met this morning, or made this morning as I listened to President Zelensky. I like the dude. You know, I like the dude. Believe me, I understand that there's some polish there, some entertainment business polish. That's fine. I think he's I think he's somebody worth liking. But I made this note down. I said, what a speech. Even though I was checking off boxes on what a compelling speech to Americans would have, and he was doing that with the references to Rushmore or 9/11, it was still compelling. But is it possible for me to see that speech as compelling and the plight of the Ukrainian people as compelling? Like I said, that's why I lost my mind last week with Vice President Harris cackling when talking about refugees. I mean, babies, toddlers. I mean, my heart is with them. My heart breaks for the refugees. I'm impressed by the Ukrainian grit and fight. I still don't want us to go into World War III. You know, so where is that? It just seems like we're continuing to inch in rhetoric, if not in action, closer to World War III. And I get it. If you're Zelensky, if I'm Zelensky, right, and I'm Ukrainian, and I'm going to give a speech, I'm going to do everything possible to pull at your heartstrings because I need you, right? I need you, and I get that. So I think, you know, because there's nowhere left in the middle anymore, right? But so I'll occupy that space. It is okay to listen to that speech from Zelensky and watch that eye sweater of a video that he played, tearjerker, and be compelled that he's a good leader at a time of strife there and be for the Ukrainian people and be all aboard to do everything we can in assistance for refugees. I think we should be doing that. I think it's our, you know, let alone our Christian or whatever religion you follow, responsibility to do it. On top of our country, I think we should be helping those people that are evacuating those countries. I think that's what we should do. At the same time, let's not get ourselves into World War III here. Let's have open eyes on this and what's going on here. Once again, don't get mad at Zelensky for rolling out a compelling speech. You would do nothing different. Let's go to Tim in Mobile up next. Hey, Tim.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, Tim. How about yourself? What's your take on all this?
Well, man, you know, I'm all for helping the Ukrainians, but my question is, what happens if they fall?
Yeah, it's a great question.
So they would love to get their hands on. I mean, can we afford to let them lose? Because what I heard is we've got some high-profile stuff that we're sending over there, and, man, they're the last ones you would want to get a hold of it and learn our technology, you know?
Well, you know, yes, I agree. They probably do have some idea of what we're doing, and we already have a recent track record of leaving our stuff behind. Remember Afghanistan, right?
Oh, yeah. Drives me crazy. Yep.
Tim, I appreciate you, man. Thanks for your call. Let's see. Gary says, ultimate of surprise is never tell the enemy what you're thinking. But on the same token, all the Russians have to do is watch CNN, Fox, ABC, etc., and they know exactly what's going on in maps and all, because we're giving them play-by-play on what's going on and what they need to do. Stop it already. Retired USMC. Well, first of all, thank you for your service, Gary. And second of all, I don't want to limit or censor our media, okay? Media's got to do their job. But we don't need to telegraph straight out of the Pentagon, you know, what we're doing. We have time for, I could do a fast one here. Derek, you got like 40 seconds here, man. Let it rip.
That's fine. That's all I need. You know, no, we should not go to war over Ukraine. They're notoriously corrupt. This has been documented for decades. You know, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but that's their problem. You know, Putin has telegraphed this for 10 years, and we have poked a bear, and it's not, you know, I'm sorry, it's not our problem. You know,
is helping the refugees is helping those refugees our problem?
Well, I mean, you know, are they the good victims now? I mean, how?
Yeah, they are good victims. You think those toddlers?
Who's deserving as far as victimhood goes?
You don't think those toddlers and children are deserving of our charity?
I do, but I mean, you know, if you're going to play that game, I mean, what about people in Donbass? What about their women and children? Are they not as deserving as well?
The Russians are there. If they're behind the Russian lines, the Russians can help them. If they were in front of another line, we would help them. I'm talking about refugees like in Poland and Moldova and all that. Appreciate the call. Got it. Run to the news. Coming back, Cameron Smith, AL.com, joins me. Lots to do. We're moving forward right here on Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And my friend Cameron Smith, AL.com, and the Triptych Foundation is joined me. I also want to read quickly through a bunch of text here, but let's get some from, we have opposing sides. That's what makes things interesting here. Actually, I got two Matts back-to-back that disagree. Let's see. Matt, the first Matt says, "Hey, Sean, I know it isn't a popular opinion right now, but I fully agree with Senator Shelby. I'm not sitting here saying the U.S. should be in all on our own, but there's a significant human element here seeing what's going on over in Europe. At what point do we say enough civilian residences, hospitals, and nuclear power plants is enough? We're already significantly involved with weapons and logistics. I think NATO should go ahead and put the boot right there." All right. I see the graphic or something showed up there. The next Matt says, this is a different Matt, says, "Ukraine chose its path of resistance and war. We do not want World War III. I wish our government was as concerned about the problems in our own country." A lot more here that are back and forth, but those encompass a lot of it. I'm going to bring on Cameron Smith now and talk more about that. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean.
So, you know, and one of the things I talked about earlier, we listened to the comments of President Biden, and I also read the tweet from Senator Shelby that when I read through it, I thought that the first, like everything but the last sentence, I was like, yeah, that's good. That seems measured. But that last sentence where, let me quote it here properly, where he says, "We should do everything possible to help him," meaning Zelensky, "everything possible to help him now." Sure sounds like a big scoot towards World War III to me.
Yeah, and Sean, I mean, this is a tough issue. You and I have talked about this, probably disagree a little bit on the way forward here, but this is not an awesome situation at all. And let's be clear that this is Vladimir Putin who caused this. Anybody out there saying, well, you know, this is NATO and this encroachment and this, hey, no. This guy started a war. End of discussion. The question is his saber rattling, saying, hey, I've got nuclear weapons. They're on high alert. We're ready to play ball with anybody that messes with us. He's threatened everyone. Is that enough to just basically continue to give this guy what he wants? And I think for some people, they're like, well, you know, let's see. Let's not get too involved here. My point is, Ukraine is a country with 44 million people. It is a, you know, growing democracy. It's not one that doesn't have its issues, but it's a growing democracy. These people are getting slaughtered by a world power that is just off the reservation, that has just lost his mind. And I think for me, the question is, okay, you're telling me that we don't need to put a stop to this and defend Ukraine. I'm not suggesting we go invade Russia. I'm saying defend Ukraine. Well, we don't need to do that. However, Estonia and Latvia, which are far smaller than Ukraine, in which we have less of a trading interest, their only strategic importance is proximity to Russia. Oh, yeah, now we're going to go to war with Russia if they get attacked because they're NATO members. I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense in light of the current discussion. I think it's we need to defend democracy against encroaching thugs. I do think we would end up in war with Russia, but I don't think this fear of a world war is nearly as credible a threat as people are giving it.
You said in referencing Putin off the reservation, out of his mind. So you have somebody like that. Why shouldn't I be fearful of this turning into a nuclear conflict, whether it be, I don't know what level, or the whole way to mutually assured destruction? Why shouldn't I be worried about that?
You should, but my point is he's crazy. So
that's
we're
going
to get crazy, man. We're going to say he's crazy. So like, let him do what he wants. That's insane. That is crazy ourselves. If he's truly crazy and setting out to invade sovereign nations, the answer is stop him, defend those countries, and then quickly and forcefully stop this. Because the thing that people aren't talking about is Russia is not the same Russia of the Cold War. It is not an equivalent military to ours. And do I want to see, you know, American troops marching into Ukraine? No. But we can quickly end his air dominance, end his ability to move. He's got targets sitting on the ground that NATO could quickly engage and dispatch and make him think twice about retreating. And I think that's something. Now, the right answer for me is, hey, Poland, you care about this? Give those MiGs to Ukraine directly. You know, we can help get you some supplies to make sure that those MiGs are in good working order, but just give them there. And then if we want to play this game, if Russia then attacks Poland, okay, now it's game on. But regardless, if this guy's going to act like a thug until somebody punches him in the mouth, then at some point that's where we're going to end up, and we need to be real about that.
Okay, but a couple things here. First of all, when do we punch him in the mouth, and what does that mean? Number one, I worry that this guy's got nothing to lose, right? So this idea that if we do this, then he will logically do this and this may not be in play. And the other part of it is, it's like the old the joke. I can't tell the whole joke on the air, I don't think, but the two bulls on the hill. Remember, there's an old bull and a young bull, and they're looking down there at the cows, and young bull says, let's run down there and have a relation with one of those cows. And the old, let's see if I can tell the whole joke. And the old bull says, no, let's walk down there and have relations with all of them. But maybe we're jumping in this too fast. Maybe there is a method of isolation here, funding, through lethal aid and other aid, the Ukrainians to fight their own fight. And we stand back and let Russia run all the air out of its balloon on its own instead of running in there and trying to punch him in the mouth and starting something that we don't know the outcome of.
Sure. And the question for me is, there is no formal we're not talking about Putin requires a formal declaration of war from the United States. He, for all intents and purposes, he could consider us at war with Russia right now, mm-hmm. but he can't do anything about it, right? You know, he knows that if he launched a nuclear weapon, we would wipe him off the face of the earth.
Yeah, but what cost do we pay? What cost do we pay at the same time? That's my worry.
And I hear you. Those costs could be significant, but they can already be significant. He could absolutely say, you know what? Today was a bad day and I'm nuts, so let's go throw some bombs. And I think this is the type of scenario that we say, well, he's a rational individual that we can reason with, and so he's saber rattling, but as long as we don't escalate, we're fine. Well, you know, Neville Chamberlain did the same thing. That's a fair historical comparison. And hey, if he just
Hitler
wants
didn't
Ukraine,
have nukes,
then he's gonna stop.
Hitler
sure.
didn't have nukes.
But if the idea is all you need is a nuke, and then you get to do what you want.
Well, that's why we try to keep
Iran?
Everybody from having nukes, right? Because you do. You move into another, you're in 7A when you have a nuke. Everybody else is a 2A or 3A ball. You're in 7A when you have a nuke. You are treated differently.
Right. But the folks who are the most crazy know that. And they're saying, you know, I've got things I want to do. North Korea, Iran.
Yeah.
Like, we talk to these folks. We can say we want to stop them, but they're saying no. We want this, and modern technology makes this much easier than it was in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. And so now we're going to say, okay, imagine that those countries now say, you know what? We're going to start encroaching. We're going to go attack. We're going to do this stuff. And as long as it's not NATO, it's cool. But the moment that it becomes NATO, now we have World War. I'm concerned that the same arguments that are going to be made for Ukraine right now saying, we'll give you some help, but we're not going to go defend you, are going to be used with NATO countries that border Russia. We'll say the same thing. And then NATO dissolves. And now we have a huge problem because the world's most powerful military alliance falls apart.
Well, listen, it may end up happening on its own. You know, I've looked at so much was talked about over the weekend when there was a Russian missile strike, I don't know, 10 miles from the Polish border. When do you have a situation where one of those missiles actually goes into Poland? Or the other part of it is, if I'm a Ukrainian division and I'm getting whipped in a tank battle or whatever with the Russians, I pull across to the Polish border, right? I pull across the border with my troops to try to reassess and draw the Russians over the border to make sure that that brings Poland and NATO in. So, I mean, it may happen on its own without us walking in on day three.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that we need to, like, turn on, you know, start blasting Danger Zone and, like, go over there and carpet bomb the Russians. I mean, I get it. There's a degree of Top Gun nostalgia, but we shouldn't get sucked into that.
I don't have it.
This is serious. This is a big deal. It's not a joke. It's not something we should be cavalier about. What I told you off air is my main concern is we have a situation we could potentially end quickly now, or we're in a situation where we get to the same point at a later date and, you know, we're still fighting, but more people die. And these are judgment calls. And I don't envy the president. I don't envy anybody having to make them right now, because if you say, hey, let's stay out of this, let's wait and see, it could get much worse. It could get better. We don't know. We don't know the future.
Right.
And if it does get worse, everybody's going to look back to this moment and say, you know what? We could have stopped this in the Ukraine. We could have decimated Putin's army, and we didn't do it. And now look. And if nothing else happens, then, hey, the folks who say stay out of it, they look like geniuses. I mean, that's how this goes.
Yeah, that's why this is not an easy decision. You know, and some of the things have come out, like yesterday even. I know on the PSYOP side, how much of this, what percentage could be propaganda? You know, is it a full propaganda milkshake, or is it 50-50 or whatever it is? But this claim came out maybe. Who had it yesterday? I don't know. Somebody had it yesterday that Russians were saying that their demilitarization of Ukraine was almost complete. And to me, I see that as like the first sign of them developing some way to save face and get out of this. It could be complete psyops. It could be nothing, no truth to it. But you see what I'm saying? That maybe if we stay in this disgusting stalemate that's going on right now, if it goes on for another week or two, maybe there is some way to settle this for now. Have a truce, some reduction of hostilities, something. Let the women and children get safe. You know, this is serious.
I agree with you. I don't think that we're at a point where we need to go in guns blazing. We need to be prepared that that's where we may end up. But right now, the crazy thing is Russia should have accomplished an invasion of the Ukraine in a couple of days.
Oh, sure. They're sucking. Like, yeah, they're sucking Heinz stuff.
This is embarrassing for Putin that, oh my goodness, Zelensky's looking like Churchill. He's looking like a schmuck. And there's no... Somebody pointed out that like Dogecoin, the like meme cryptocurrency, is worth 15 times the amount of a ruble.
Yeah.
I mean, like that level of economic collapse in Russia, and this is all bad for Russia. And I like the idea, at least in my head, that Putin says, well, I need to save face and I need to go back home. But I mean, my concern is, does he want to go home a loser? Does he want to go home saying, hey, basically, we blew up a lot of Ukraine and ended up with what we already had? I think that's really tough for him to see that as an exit.
But the way the messaging is in Russia, and I know there's an undercurrent of people that still, even though they shut off social media and all those things, there's a way people will find things out. But, you know, there's so many stories that have been out, have people that are either Ukrainian or American calling home to Russia, and they're folks arguing with them that, no, this is just a special military action. There's nothing. It's a great victory. Maybe Putin can say, listen, we went in there, those militarized zones that we were worried about, we took them out. We're back home. Great success.
Yes, they will have a Borat-like, you know, great success. They'll probably have a parade for the returning Russian soldiers. You know,
smaller parade. Small parade.
Very, very small parade. This is an issue. And the thing people aren't talking about that I think is quite real is increasingly with Russia isolated, their economy in a free fall, they're not going to look to anybody but China. And so I think the very real outcome of this, regardless of whether we get involved in direct defense of Ukraine or not, is that Russia ends up being a puppet state of China, that China is their trading partner. China is their savior. In
their petro state. Yeah, it's their sidecar petro state. I get that.
Yes. And I mean, think about it this way. China is a nuclear power. Add in Russia's arsenal to China's. And, you know, now things for Taiwan get pretty dicey pretty fast.
Okay, let me, before we run down, let me play this game, because I've talked about it here on the air. I don't know that anybody's engaged me in this discussion, but maybe you would. All right, so we put sanctions on Russia, right? We're sanctioning Russia. We're, the world is sanctioning Russia. Now let's make that China. Let's say China does go into Taiwan, and we don't want to obviously move to a hot war with China. Then what? Let's sanction China. What happens to us here in the United States? I tell you what, the effects are going to be felt a lot more than blocking some 4 to 10% of the oil we receive here from Russia. I mean, think about, you sanction China, nothing coming in from China. What happens then?
Oh yeah, we can't do that.
Yeah, we can't.
Like, I want to be real clear about that. Like, the situation with Russia is materially different. They've got a outdated military. They've got a small economy. We don't really need them for anything. And China's a different animal entirely. They've got a massive economy. They've got a massive trade paths through the whole world. And massive, you know, they have so much infrastructure that they control throughout the world, that the idea of sanctioning China would return the favor, and it would it would crush us.
Yep.
And we so my point is, that's the one we need to be thinking about, because if we don't like the situation of Europe being dependent on Russia for its energy, well, you want to talk about dependency. Everybody's dependent on China right yep. now for so much, and including us. And we need to really, really be thinking about that before we get to a conflict point with them.
Okay, post this the speech from Zelensky, speech from President Biden today, and the additional actions in Congress. When you and I talk next week, we may talk before, but let's say we talk next week. Are we in this same stalemate now, or something big? Is there another big shoe has fallen?
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to see too much change unless we see change with respect to the fighter jets that people want to get to the Ukraine. I think the U.S. might find a way to broker a deal where we can sort of have cleaner hands. But I think that it's the correct path to put so much of it on the European folks that are more concerned about Russia and say, you go first. We don't always have to be the ones in America that, you know, stick our face in the fight first. This is very important to you. So, Poland, if you are really that concerned, you give the fighters to Ukraine. We can, you know, help you with that. But if Russia then comes after you, it's game on.
I'll say this at closing. If somehow we thread this needle, we avoid World War III, avoid entangling ourselves in that battle on the European continent. The silver lining to this is, I do believe NATO has, the reset button was hit with NATO. People went and got their faces slapped, and they've woken up there. Also changing how folks feel about depending on Russia, not meaning China, but Germany and other European states, on depending on Russia for their energy. And maybe back here at home, it's a wake-up call to have, you know, I don't know, this crazy idea of being energy independent. So maybe there's a silver lining if we can avoid World War III.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think we're going to see a real reset button. First off, I think people are going to take NATO a lot more seriously. You've got some of those Scandinavian countries rethinking their neutrality right now and trying to push forward with membership and those type of, you know, alliances. But also, everybody's got to be thinking about, are we dependent on people who don't share our values? And if that's the answer, you need to fix it.
Yeah, that includes not only Iran and Venezuela, but let me say the uncomfortable thing, that includes Saudi Arabia for us. But that's a discussion for another day. Cameron, people want to reach out to you online. How do they find you?
At D. Cameron Smith on Twitter, al.com/opinion. I'm everywhere. Come join the discussion.
The omnipresent Cameron Smith. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, John.
Coming right back. More Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Got some, a stack of texts to get into, and we'll grab some phone calls as well at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Wednesday-style Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Want y'all to say hello to my buddy David McCrary, LCM Motor Cars, and talk to me, full-size trucks that get good gas mileage. What you got?
Yes, Sean, good afternoon. We just bought an 2018 Chevrolet Silverado LT. It's white with black leather, nice truck, good colors, four-wheel drive, Z71, and it's got the six-cylinder, and it's a 4.3-liter six-cylinder. It's not the little motor, but it's still going to get really good gas mileage and have plenty of power.
Yeah, I love that. I love to have that ability, too. I like to drive a full-size truck, but I like to have some money to eat afterwards, especially with gas at this level. What about gas misers, mid-size SUVs, those vehicles? How are you looking?
We've got a ton of small imports, and we've got a lot of mid-size SUVs that get good gas mileage, a lot of six-cylinders and four-cylinders. And then we've still got the, you know, the V8 Hoosiers, Suburbans, anything you're looking for. We've got a really good selection right now.
Give people directions to come see you.
We're at Government Street and Plantation in Theodore. You can go to the website at LT Motor.
Thank you, David. This is David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Of course, check him out online on Facebook, or better yet, check him out in person. We'll be right back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile coming up.
I'm Donald Trump, and I love Alabama.